This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Please be advised that 6 Degrees of Reality TV contains explicit language. Hi, and welcome to 6 Degrees of Reality TV. My name is Amy.
And I'm Leslie.
And we've been watching reality TV for like, oh, I don't know, like 30 years between the two of us?
Would that make us experts in trash?
We are experts in trash. But we still get stuff wrong. I mean, 30 years and we still can't figure this out.
Yeah, we know nothing. So I think together we can learn what it's like to fall in love on reality TV.
Here's hoping. Hi, everyone. Welcome to 6 Degrees of Reality TV. My name is Amy. I'm your co-host.
And I'm Leslie. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Leslie, I get to see you on the camera now, but we met in person this weekend,
we did.
And I was so excited.
It was so funny because I'm like waiting for her and I'm like texting like, Amy, where are you? She's like, I'm in a cab. And I'm like, oh, where is she? And then finally she shows up and then I just see like a bunch of people and then I'm like, Amy! And I was literally in a corner like Baby and Dirty Dancing and I was like, I got it.
You were in a corner, and I went over there, and I pulled you out of that corner,
Thank you.
Did the Dirty Dancing dance,
yeah,
the finale,
you know, the lift. We did the lift. Yeah, that was awesome. So we were actually at a Bunky meetup in Philly, so that was fun for Pink for Shade.
For our buddies, Mary Payne and Aaron, who we love. Mm-hmm. I was getting lots of texts, like, where are you? Come on. You know where I was? I was in a cab getting sold edibles.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. Our cab driver's like, you know, I respect the hustle. Mm-hmm. He's like, I have some edibles here if you want to buy them. I contemplated it because I love a good edible. However, they were like hand-baked in plastic bags. And I just will not, the Gen Xer in me will not trust anyone who makes that kind of shit.
No. And also after COVID, no.
Like if it was sealed up, I would be okay with that. But no. And I would not have taken it there. I would have brought it home and, you know, whatever. Partook at some point when the kids were away or something. But no. So that's where I was. I was zipping around Philly getting a drug pusher on me.
And I was just
He was really nice.
And I was just like walking around the Gayborhood. Like it's literally called the Gayborhood on the map.
It's amazing.
And it's amazing. So many amazing stores and like arts and like custom made stuff. And there was like this LGBTQ shop. It was like a bookshop, thrift shop kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they raised money for like AIDS research. And it was like so amazing. And I got like a bunch of CDs for like $1 or like $5. And actually have a CD player. Yes, I do.
To which I was like, you have a CD player?
And a Discman. Hell yeah.
And like, you know what? You know what? No judgment, because that fits.
Yeah.
That fits. You are a true icon of the 90s.
Yeah.
I love it.
I just love it. And remember getting so frustrated when you put, you know, when they upgraded their, you know, their technology and they were like, we're going to put a hold button on this, you know, little Discman. And then you walk around and still your CD player skips, you know, the song.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I did not have a Discman.
Really?
Because I had a boombox. Right, that you walked around with and you played American Girl by Tom Petty as loud as possible. And then I had a Walkman. Mm-hmm. But by the time Discman came out, I think I was like a little older and I just didn't have one. Like I probably had my own apartment and had like a stereo at this point.
Yeah.
And don't forget, I don't live in a super walkable area. So it's not like I was walking places. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And that's why for me it was like revolutionary because it was you get to take your music on the go. And I'm from New York. I'm always walking around. Mm-hmm. But then it was so wide, it never fit in your pocket. So you just got to hold it out awkwardly. And then you could get robbed because it was the 90s in New York. So it was very tricky.
Well, you survived. Your disc man survived.
Yeah.
We survived our Philly meetup.
Yes, that was so fun.
Will Miguel survive? Will Lindy survive? We don't know.
I don't know what happened this week, but I was just losing my goddamn mind.
I have so many thoughts. Oh. Okay. All right. So let's start. We're going to cover Alexis and Justin first because nothing really happened. But let me just say real quick, the name of the episode, this is Married at First Sight, season 15, episode 14. No hug for you.
Is that a Seinfeld reference? I think so. Oh, Lord.
Okay, so why don't you take us through the very little, because guys, I'm going to cover the group scenes at the end because they're so Lindy and Miguel centered.
Yeah.
So Leslie's just going to give us a little bit of Alexis and Justin when they went on that disastrous winery date, which I pretty much fast forwarded.
Oh my God, it was crazy. Okay, so at the beginning of the episode, everyone is prepping to leave for this couple's retreat. And Justin is by the sink, he's washing dishes and talking about how fun it will be to hang out with the guys and be with the bros because he's all about the bro time. And they cut to Lex, and I'm going to call her that because I don't want my device to go off.
Have that device weighing in.
Oh my God, she's very opinionated. So then Lex is like just looking at her watch. Like the editing on this episode, maybe it's because I've been watching too many Housewives and listening to too many Housewives podcasts, but the shadiness and a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, may I add, is just crazy because he's talking about like, here I am looking forward to the couple's retreat. Ironically, I'm looking forward to just hanging out with the guys, and she's just looking at her watch like, I don't have time for this man. And I'm just like, this is insane. Okay. And then she mocks him because of course she has to. That's like in her DNA at this point, because he mentioned playing Monopoly as some sort of fun night activity. And she called it.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm here in defense of Monopoly. I love a good Monopoly game. Time I can be competitive.
Yeah.
And drunk. If I could put those two things together, it always ends well.
But she's like, oh, baby, that's a Justin thing. That's not like a thing, you know.
That's a thing.
It is a thing. People play board games. Like, that is so fun.
We played Risk, and like, my husband and I almost got divorced over it.
Don't do that.
Peace treaties with my sister. So, believe me. It can get ugly.
But here's the thing that I noticed. She always couches everything with like a babe or like, it's like the compliment sandwich, you know, it's like compliment and then jab and then another compliment and then everything is okay. So it's very shady.
She's real deliberate.
Okay. So they go to the retreat. Basically, because there's like they go to the retreat and then from there they go on a date later on. But it's so funny because everybody arrives to this retreat. It's like a huge mansion and people are claiming rooms. Everything looks nice. And Goldilocks is bouncing on the bed and says, the mattress is too hard.
She does say that, yes.
Yeah, because as they're all walking to the house, everyone is, is like commenting on the opulence and how grand it is, how fancy. Even Mitch says, this is fancy pants. But then they cut to Lex and she's the one with the negative comment. And I'm just like, of course.
Yeah, I was thinking in that moment of, was it Philly with Jamie and Beth, and she accused him of having basic mediocre white man sex or something like that. And I was like, maybe Alexis just doesn't want to have her basic mediocre sex on this hard mattress.
Yeah, she needs a softer mattress for being bored, I guess.
Like, if you're not gonna have great sex, you might as well be comfortable.
I guess that's true. But then in my notes, I wrote like, ooh, the producers did her dirty in that moment because it was really funny that everybody's like, oh my God, they're so impressed. And she's like, not impressed kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm just like, there are times where I try to defend her or I think like maybe I'm being too harsh on her. You know, maybe it's the editing.
You're not-
and it's like, no, she does this to herself. So
yeah, I think we're pretty careful not to just pile on someone who doesn't deserve it, but she's been showing a pattern of disrespect towards people that makes me feel like we're okay to pile on
disrespect
her,
my friend, disrespect. Michael Scott. Okay, so then later on we get to their segment and we learn that they finally consummated their marriage.
Whoop. And was it everything she wanted it to be?
Of course not. Because Justin had issues removing her bra. And so she had to remove it herself.
And she was... Okay, can I jump in here as a big-breasted woman?
Yes.
Our bras are like cages, trying to undo a cage. It is not what you see in the movies, like this little simple, like, oop, little one-hook Victoria's Secret nonsense, okay? This is, and she's big like I am. Mm-hmm. So this is like 17 hooks, a padlock, a deadbolt. So I give him some grace there.
Yeah, Victoria's secret is that she cannot contain all these breastesses. That's the secret, you know? So it's just so funny. So she is like saying, I'm an independent woman, so she could take off her own bra. But then she says this after... You know, he's like struggling to help her clasp her shoes because they're all getting ready to go to like this prom for Lindy.
Yeah, she like has to find a moment to let the television audience know that he fumbled around with her bra.
Exactly. And then mm-hmm. Justin tells producers that the wait was worth it, you know, to have sex because they got to build a connection and it just wasn't sex. They made love. And he said that with all earnesty. And I fell over my chair laughing so hard because I was like, oh my God, you have to find the comedy in this show because otherwise there's nothing going on. So
They made love.
And I literally went, ay, el pobre, which is like, oh, poor thing.
So yeah, he's on a different level here than she is. He 100%. Is
on a whole different level. So everybody's getting excited to see each other because later on they're going to do this prom. They're all dressed up in prom attire. They're even posing in front of a mirror, you know, pretending like the prom poses. And at one point it looks like he's going to mount her. Like, guys, come on, keep it classy. And then, and I know, so they get into this huge argument prior to that. So, okay, no, cut this.
Okay, hold on. Okay. I'm going to keep muting periodically because there's a lot of noise happening.
Okay. So everybody's just excited to see each other. They're on their prom attires. You see them posing for pictures and everything. They're excited for Lindy. She never had a prom. Amy's going to cover that. And we'll know that she and Miguel had a big fight right before they get there. So she'll cover that in a bit. But it's so funny because when they walk in, you see the slow motion and they go through like the steps and then everybody's shouting and the caption literally says shouting, cheering.
Yes. It reminded me of, you watch Love is Blind, right?
Yes.
It reminded me of the editing from the 80s party.
Yeah.
Yes. Like on After the Altar. Well, it's the same producers, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? Lifetime finally upped their budget. And they actually had decent songs this episode because they were, I don't know if they were meant to be funny, but they kind of played funny in some instances.
We're at the prom. Let a boy come and ruin it for you.
No. That was actually like a decent song. It had like some kind of like hip hop kind of vibe to it. And I was like,
I can't do that.
The beats were nice. And I was like, okay, the lyrics are questionable, but whatever.
Okay. So, the beats were nice, unlike Miguel's beats later.
Oh, Lord. So, so Alexis just basically tells Lindy, all right, tonight we're going to do all the stereotypical things they do at prom. So somebody already spiked the punch. And, you know, you're going to talk about the whole prom thing. But, you know, afterwards, the next day, Justin is planning a secret date for them. So this is the day after the prom, and they go to Myrtle Creek Vineyards, where we make all the fine wine. Direct quote from the owner of the vineyard. So I was like, okay, so clearly he did not trust any of like his riffraff staff members to give this tour on TV. So he was like, I'm going to have to do this myself. And it's going to say owner underneath every time they flash my name.
Right.
So they're presented with wines, and it says Alexis and Justin, and the owner hands it to them, and it was a really kind gesture. They're like, oh, okay. They were like impressed, and then they both like simultaneously agree, oh, we should open this on our 1-year anniversary. And I was like,
never gonna happen.
So they have a wine tasting, and Lex proceeds to taunt Justin because she brings up that she has some bomb ass pussy, essentially, because she's just talking about like, "Ooh, did you like it? Was it good?" Because you can't stop smiling, and I'm just like, "Oh God!" Yeah, but she kept saying that Justin has a glow about him. I just got some booty glow. Like, she just need to keep, you know, bringing this up.
Yeah.
So she tells producers she's happy. She and Justin were intimate. And I fucking hate that word so much. Too. It grosses me out. And I am someone who has watched on a regular basis The Fly by Jeff Goldblum. And that scene where his ear falls off in the sink is less disgusting than that word is to me. That's all I'm going to say. I fucking hate it. Okay. Watch The Fly. Right. It's really creepy, but I love Jeff Goldblum. So anyways.
I saw that movie when I was a little kid, and I remember really liking it, and my parents found that disturbing.
Oh, because it is disturbing. Yeah.
That I really liked it. They were like, I don't know, maybe we should put you somewhere.
Yeah.
In the corner or in the closet.
Okay. So whatever. She says she's hopeful for whatever comes next, and I say divorce.
I say divorce.
And then the most magical thing happens. Actual drama. Alexis is pressing about how good her goodies are, that this relationship is so different now, even his energy level is up, and Justin takes offense to this and argues that his energy is exactly the same.
Now, did you feel there was a shift in his energy? Because I didn't see one.
I did not see one. He was acting exactly the same.
Okay.
So she was just trying to be like, oh, you know, let's talk about how good my sex is. Come on, talk about me. Just keep drooling over me, you know, basically on camera.
Yep.
And he's like, no, my energy level has been the same. And then he's like, that he's been thinking about long term, but then it starts to sound like he's looking for an out, because he says something along the lines of like, how well can you know someone in 8 weeks? We're still learning each other. All fair points.
Yeah.
But he caps it off with, I need more time. You know what I'm saying? And Alexis tilts her head like a fucking owl. Like, what?
Yes.
And then producers play like this bell sound effect to like punctuate the fact that she clocked that moment and was like, oh, hell no, she's gonna like go exorcist on his ass. And I'm just like, in her mind right now, she's thinking, oh, hell no, I fucked this dude and now he's not gonna stick around, or at least have the decency to pretend to, until the end of this fucking show. So that I don't look stupid.
Yep.
And she is literally out of breath. Did you notice that moment? Oh, you fast forwarded.
I can't watch a lot of them.
So she is literally fighting for breath. Like, she's fighting the urge not to fucking scream. And you hear it in her voice, because she's like, because she's shaking her head like she's fucking possessed. Yeah. Yeah. And her voice is sounding weird. And she's like, I'm giving it my all. I genuinely am. Like, she's like really fighting herself not to scream.
Do you agree with, I think, you know, I've been seeing in a lot of groups and stuff like that, that people think she's just not into him. Like, do you agree that she's done? Like, she's over?
She was never into him. She was just trying to be nice and try to give this a try. She's not in. So then we cut to Alexis, and she's pushing up her bras. You know, her titties are, like, falling out because she has, like, these off-the-shoulder, like, baby doll dress. They're beautiful. It's hot pink. I can't pull that shit off, but
no, do you, boo.
But now she's mad because she's a strong, independent woman and knows what she wants. Why does he have to say these things to her to make her question herself? So that's her big hang-up. It's like, oh, hell no. You're now turning me down. So we cut back to the scene, and they're saying that they learn differently. So she needs to know his characteristics to know how to react in certain situations. And she says it that she wants to understand his tics so that she could apply that to situations. And my takeaway from that is like, oh, you want to know his tics so you can fuck with him, because now you're mad.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
And then she asks, when is enough enough? And that's the one where the clip that we saw in the previews and everything. Mm-hmm. And he asks if he could be honest. And she says, yeah, And he goes, you should remember that thing where I told you I was worried about you quitting. I feel that's what it is going to be. So basically he's saying that she's checked out. And then we get tense music. So that's really like their solo time.
Yes. I feel like we went from a cast of reality stars who don't communicate, have never been to therapy, and don't know how to talk to people, to an over-therapized group of individuals who do nothing but therapize each other.
Exactly.
And sometimes it turns into like this circular conversation that like I can't even follow anymore. Like, why do we keep going back and forth on all this?
The thing is with these reality shows, they're formulaic. They've been on for a million years. Yeah. People watch it because they want to be on it. Because how else would you learn about this unless you watch it? Like, let's be honest. Like, you were watching it at some point, or someone told you about it, and then you watched it. So you can know what you're getting yourself into. So you know how to behave. You know how that fans act. You know all of this. So you start filtering yourself. So it's not as genuine as like the earlier seasons, or like a Love is Blind, where it was so new and everybody was so sequestered that you got like actual moments.
No, you're absolutely right. I feel like Alexis is just acting. Mm-hmm. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel genuine.
It does not.
And it probably doesn't. So Justin is very sensitive. Take a laugh at his expense, whatever. I appreciate a sensitive person.
Yeah.
But he's an empath and he's probably picking up on this.
Yep.
Like, he can spot that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That she's not authentic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Should we move on?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have anything with Stasha and Nate, or do we just include them in the group scenes?
I mean, we just know that they go to a sex shop, y'all.
They go to a sex shop and they're all like excited and horned up in their apartment.
And the vibrating panties incident. Ooh, child. Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into it. So we're going to start with Kristen and Mitch because they kind of lead us into the couples retreat. So they decide they're going to talk about their argument that they had, the Poolgate incident.
Yep.
In the car on the way to the couples retreat. Now, Kristen says she does not want a pool party repeat, and I have to say something. Mitch says, let's blow this popsicle stand. I say that all the time.
I say that too, because I picked it up from the Rugrats. Let's blow this popsicle stand.
I say it all. I don't even know what it means. I say it all the time.
Okay. I guess it's like as a kid, you're selling ice cream and you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to work anymore. I think that's the origin of it.
Is it a stand made of popsicle sticks and you just blow it over?
Or no, I think it's like the idea of like selling lemonade, but you're selling like popsicles and you're like, let's blow this popsicle stand.
That sounds more logical. Yes.
Yeah.
So Kristen says, look, I go into shit with good intentions and sometimes it just goes down hard. And, you know, I'm really sorry. I could have handled that better. And he's like, I accept your apology, but I also could have handled it way better. Mm-hmm. So now we see some prison cam, and I wrote, even when they're fighting, they're super respectful. They use words like you can tell they are the oldest people on the show. Like they are the adults, because they're like, well, I just want to tell you that when you say this, I hear this. Or, you know, like it's very, they've both either been through therapy or they're just super in touch with who they are. We know she's been through therapy, but he doesn't do a bad job either, I have to say, of communicating. Okay. So Mitch acknowledges this is his responsibility. And he's like, I just didn't want to be the husband like telling my wife how to be. And then he says he also felt like a puppet in that moment and did not want someone telling him how to feel, because he is so obstinate. We know this. All right. So she says, I just wanted to have someone, you know, I just want someone who thinks I'm beautiful and is just happy to be with me. And Mitch, you know, he skips a beat and then he says, well, I do think you're beautiful and I think you're really smart and you're really fun to be with and you make a great partner. And he says it like so matter of fact.
Yeah. Like he's a checklist.
He's just not somebody who's going to gush compliments on you.
No.
Although I bet you he does when he's drunk. I just sense it. Not that I'm speaking from experience, but I just sense it. So she says, thank you. You've never really said that kind of stuff. I really needed to hear it. And they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. They're going to be good.
So then they arrive, but they do arrive at the couple's retreat and she is like bowled over by this mansion.
She's like, right.
Oh my God, I arrived.
I love that.
Yep. So later they go to an archery place. They have a really good time. Mitch tells Kristen, you know, we're in a good spot. Or he tells the camera, Chris mm-hmm. and I are in a good spot. I love seeing her happy. Then the person who runs the archery place prompts them to write words on a paper and shoot the arrows at the paper. And she's like, let's post things we want to get rid of. So they shoot attraction. They shoot pool gate.
Mm-hmm.
And then she officially forgives him and they move on. Yeah. Again, I think they're fine. Let's take a break. And then we're going to come back to Miguel and Lindy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, guys, we're back. So in the beginning of the episode, Miguel surprises Lindy with a dress from the costume store. Did you hear her say that? Yeah. I didn't know that. Because I'm like, how did he pick out the dress that's exactly her size? Blah, blah, blah. But when she sees it, she's like, oh, that dress from the costume store. So she knew.
Mm-hmm.
So he buys that for her and he says, guess what, bitch? We're throwing you prom because you grew up in Footloose. That's what's happening. Which Mitch refers to that later. Like, yeah. Wow, you really did grow up in Footloose. All right, so now we get the fight, okay? They're at the couples retreat, and they have a fight. Now, I have it on tape. I want to play it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to play the whole thing into the microphone here. Oh, wait, hold on.
Okay, get a picture of me looking out this window. Don't do a selfie, because you have to get the good bit. Come on, not a selfie. You're making me mad.
What?
Because I want the good quality ones. No, come on. All right. Thank you.
I don't appreciate that tone, I'll tell you that.
Okay. The reason I recorded this is because I needed to go through this fight in great detail.
Yes.
Because I feel like they're both wrong.
Mm. Ooh, interesting. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So at first I was like, I was immediately Team Lindy. Because I'm like, Miguel, I don't know what is going on with him. If he has his period, he's just acting like a big old baby.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard her, like, she is just so bratty in that moment. Like, yeah. Oh, babe, come on, get a bear one. I don't want that. Like, it's really a lot.
You know, that reminded me of that moment in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the Jason Segel vehicle.
Great movie.
That movie so much. You know, in it, he is married to, what is her name? Kristen Bell. Mm-hmm. Well, not married. He's dating her, and she's like a TV star or whatever. And then after their breakup, oh, spoiler alert, they break up. That's why it's called Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
And my boyfriend, Russell Brand, is in it.
Russell Brand is in it. So, like, he kind of plays back, like, situations he was in with her. And then he saw all these moments where it was all about her. He was holding onto her purse. He was, like, you know, catering to her. He was, like, pushed aside and everything. And that brought me to that moment with that whole, like, no, take another one. Take a better one. It's like,
you're, that's a good point.
Your feelings or your existence right now doesn't matter. Capture this that I want right now. And that's how it felt.
That's a very good point. She was just so bratty and ridiculous. However, two things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to her like a sociopath.
I did not appreciate his tone. Can we talk about tone?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, I was triggered because mm-hmm. if you've ever been in a, like, an emotionally abusive relationship or just mm-hmm. not a healthy relationship, you know that tone.
I know that tone.
You've been spoken to in that tone before. Mm-hmm. And when a woman hears that tone, like, it just, it, you know, the hair on the back of my neck went bing.
Yeah.
That was,
I'm telling you, my PTS dick was correct from the very beginning. I do not like him. And this is why, because I felt like there was something, because from the moment that they were together, from the very episode when they consummated their marriage, I felt like he checked out in that moment. He was done with the experiment.
You mean after he pressured her to consummate
the marriage? Exactly. And yes. Then kind of talked her into being like, no, it was my idea. I liked it. I was fine. He coerced her into sex, guys. And then he was like tuned out. And then he was playing the part and pretending he was all in. And he was at his fucking breaking point. He was like, I can't fucking pretend anymore. This chick is annoying. I'm done. And now he wants to make her seem crazy so that he could be like, I say no on decision day. And he doesn't come off as the bad guy. But guess what, bitch? We're on to you.
Yeah. Like, just the fact that he's like, I don't want to be your personal photographer. What do you mean? Why do you say that? Like, okay, you know where I went with it? I'm going to tell you where I went with it.
Okay.
It brought me to the Johnny Depp Amber Heard tape.
Oh, yes. This
recording, right? When he's going off and she is very monotone, goading him into going off more. Like, that's the eeriest part of that tape where she's like, what do you mean, babe? Did you drink that whole thing? Are you going to drink that whole thing? Like, she's goading him.
Yeah, Amber Heard. She's
recorded. Yes. And it's the same kind of dynamic. Like, he is the reason he's like, the way she's like, oh, get a better angle. And he's like, why? What do you mean? Like, he's doing it to get her to freak out more.
Yeah.
It's just creepy.
It is creepy. I didn't like it.
I really didn't like it. And if this is the way that he acts, run. Run, girl. Because you're annoying as fuck, but you got to run and get out of there.
Yeah, she is annoying. She needs someone that matches her energy, I guess, or has the same, you know, bird like brain that she has.
What adult talks like that? What adult is like, no, not the selfie, babe. Come on.
One that did not have a normal childhood.
Right.
Remember, now is that she's experiencing her adolescence. She's experiencing it now.
But there's so much inherent misogyny in the way he talks to her.
Oh, of course.
Learn to read the room. And later he says to her, well, what would you say if you were reading the room? Like, she's a little kid. Okay. All right. Let me keep going. So the couples, it's the prom. The couples make their grand entrances. Alexis asks, what type of stereotypical prom things, Lindy, do you want to do? And we'll do them for you so you can experience a real prom. Lindy says, the staircase photos. Check. Sex. Okay. And then I wrote, did she have boyfriend picking a fight and ruining my entire night? Because that is a very common prom experience for most of us.
Wow.
Miguel literally just standing there looking like a man child. Now we get some dancing and picture taking. And while they're dancing, Miguel is saying things like, this whole situation is trying me. And then I wrote, they have a dancing fight because they're like dancing, but they're fighting as well. It was pretty great. And she apologizes and he's like, you gaslighted me. So his whole thing is, after he was mad and called her out on it, she's like, it was a joke, which it wasn't.
It was not a joke.
He was trying to pull it back. And he's like, you were gaslighting me. No, she wasn't, dude. She was just trying to get out of that moment. Like, that's not gaslighting. Go watch 80 soap operas.
No. He doesn't need to watch anything because he does it himself.
That's true. So then he says, that shit won't fly with me. You don't talk to me like that ever, ever. Run.
Red flag. Get out.
Guys, I cannot tell you that if you ever have a man talking to you like this, run. Because it will not get better. It will get worse. And you could be the most annoying person on the planet. You don't deserve to be spoken to like this. Okay. So she says, it was a missed joke, blah, blah, blah. And they go back and forth. And I just wrote, I'm exhausted trying to cover this.
It's true.
She says, this is selfish because I'm trying to get through prom and he can't get past this. Okay. So now they do the awards, the superlatives. And life of the party is Alexis, who grabs the mic and says, well, my husband won't let me go out anymore. So I need to give up that title.
She just always has to find a way to dig. She has like a golden, like, I feel like she has a bedazzled shovel that she's just digging. And she's just like, ugh, I just gotta.
I feel like she has a bedazzled, like, shank.
Yeah. Just, like, everything is bedazzled.
Best dancer is Nate, although I do agree it should have went to Kristen after seeing that footage.
Oh my god.
Because that is me when I dance. I'm Elaine from Seinfeld. Biggest drama queen is Lindy.
And she actually started like, oh, damn it! You know, like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Most emotional, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely to save the planet, Mitch. Class clown, Mitch. Best all around, Stasha. Notice Miguel didn't really get anything here. Mm-mm. Best gossip, Alexis. Or biggest gossip, yeah. Alexis. Now, in an ITM, with the people we totally need as co-commentators on every single episode, Stasha and Nate, who are just
they magic. Were amazing in this They're moment.
Magic. Nate says, well, it makes sense that Alexis got this because she pretty much caused Ben and Morgan's divorce straight up.
Yeah, I was like, whoa!
Mm-hmm. And Stasha's like, well, you know, she could have handled it differently. Maybe she should have encouraged Justin to tell Ben to go to Morgan directly. And Nate goes, no, she tells on people she's a snitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, Nate, I really like you.
Yeah, man. Nate is done with her. Yeah, he's done with her. He's like, I don't need to see this woman ever again.
Nope. So most likely to stay married, ironically, Lindy and Miguel. Miguel gives a half-hearted acceptance speech that doesn't even seem like it is genuine or legitimate. Most likely to end up with multiple divorces is Kristen.
And she gave it to herself.
She's really excited about this. And I don't know if it's a case of like, I'm going to lean into this because it's embarrassing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was over the top. Okay. So Lindy and Miguel are crowned prom king and queen. And after the prom, there's more circular talk that I can't even deal with. Then Nate and Stasha show up with a sex swing. And they're like, they're going through something, so we're going to hang this swing up. We're going to demonstrate for them. Okay, it gets weird. Okay, now later they go on a horse and carriage ride. Okay, Miguel decides he's going to start laying down some sick beats. And he wrote a poem that is about Lindy.
Oh, it was about her? I wasn't sure.
The first one was.
Okay. Yes.
So let me ask you a question. If you're on a carriage ride and you're with Jeff Goldblum, right? You guys are dating.
Oh, yeah.
He has written this poem for you. It's not great. Of course it's not great.
Of course not.
You know, like, which poem is great? I mean, it takes a really, you know, good poem to turn my head. So he's reciting this poem to you. Are you going to pay attention? It's about you.
Well, I'd listen. And look at, you know, acknowledge that this is happening and probably be like, what is happening? Keep nodding your head. Keep smiling. Do not get distracted because you don't want to be rude.
Right. But she's like, oh, there's a bird. Oh, there's a dog. It's like squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Mm-hmm. Like it was really bad. Then he starts to read a poem about himself. Okay. Now, again, they're both wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
If he wrote her a poem and read the poem about her, fine. As a poet, I think it's extremely rude when you're trying to tell, you pour your heart out to somebody and they're like, there's a dog.
Yeah.
There's a cat. Like, she is very self-centered.
As a writer, and because I love it so much, and I feel like that's the only thing I'm good at, like, that's the one thing that if people come after for, like, you could come from my looks, you could come from whatever, but my writing, I take it so personal, because for me, it's something so precious that I've cultivated as a child through adulthood, and for you to kind of, like, ignore it, I would be so embarrassed, and I'll be like, I'm not sharing with this person again, I don't feel safe with them, and showing them my art, which has happened to me in the past, and I'm like, okay, this person I cannot share my art with.
Yes, it's happened to me too. And I don't know if people realize, if you're not a writer, like how vulnerable that is.
Yeah.
However, two poems were, it was too much.
Too much.
It was too much. The one poem, fine. It was about her. You're on a carriage ride. Good. Mm-hmm. The second poem about you feeling like Icarus, dude, too much.
Who's Icarus?
And then she's like, and she, like, just kept placating him with, like, this, thanks for sharing. thanks for sharing.
While cutting him off too.
Yeah, it wasn't genuine. Mm-hmm. So while I think he's a total douchebag in this episode, I get where the frustration would come from.
Yeah. In that moment, his frustration was justified.
But again, why wouldn't he just say, why are you cutting me off? I'm trying to pour my heart out here to you.
Yeah.
Like, why would he not just say that? I don't, like, why does it have to be a whole thing? But anyway, okay.
Because he's a drama queen.
So later, Miguel tells her it bothers him to be interrupted. And then he's telling the camera he's irritable and he's running on fumes. And it's just a matter of time before he loses it. And then they sit down and they're like talking. And she asks him questions. Like, she asks him who Icarus. No. She asks him about the horses.
Yeah.
And if they're a part of the Dungeons and Dragons world.
Yeah.
As he's giving an answer, she starts fixing her hair and watching other people and then commenting on other people. And he didn't even finish the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wrote, it's annoying me and I'm not even there.
Yeah.
Okay. So he calls her out on it and she's like, oh, so am I supposed to have blinders on and not pay attention to the world around me? It's like, no, dude, just focus on this one thing.
Exactly. You asked a question. Here's the answer. Okay, so clearly you didn't care. You were just trying to make conversation. Cool. Noted.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
I feel like it's like this. Like, there is something about her constant need for attention and lack of focus that bothers him and is annoying to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not handling it right. Like, yeah. He's really gone to a dark, negative place. And I saw a different side to him this week. I was like, glasses or no glasses, I'm not here for this, Miguel.
No. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
All right. So she starts crying eventually. And she's like, I'm just tired of... She goes off to the side. And she's like, I'm so sick of feeling like I'm not good enough for this man. Like, you either love me and accept me or you don't. And then we come back to the table and they're fighting over whether or not they're fighting.
Yeah. That was happening. The craziest moment. I was like, I am losing my goddamn mind.
Yep. And she says, this is not an outburst. He can't handle an outburst.
Yeah, I've done that. That's not a good look, guys.
No, I've done it too. I've been there. All right. So now we're at the group scene for dinner and everyone is wondering where McGindy is. And the girls are in the kitchen chatting. So it's Stasha, Alexis,
and Kristen,
and they're discussing oh my god, Freudian slip, they're discussing Alexis and Justin banging,
and of which course, is disgusting, that's what happened. Yeah,
and of course she has to say it was awkward and his stamina wasn't where it should be. Oh, I fucking hate her. She asked the women, in the past, if sex wasn't good, but like the guy was amazing, would you stay? Like, would it be all right? And they both say yes. Like, of course we like good sex and that's the dream, right? But if not, we could deal with it. Like,
the dream to cream. Oh my god. My boy. Oh,
what? I apologize to our entire audience.
This is coming from someone who has a Prince tattoo on her wrist and who as a child was singing Cream, not knowing what the hell the song was about. I thought it was about ice cream.
Okay. It's usually me turning off 90% of our viewers.
Our listeners.
It's welcome that you're doing it this time. Okay. So now McGindy shows up and Lindy does the, we've all been here. She does the run past everyone because she's clearly been crying and she needs to get into the house. So she runs into the house and Miguel sits down with the guys and Mitch says, you were a little bit late, so we questioned your entire marriage.
Which is funny. He said it as a joke and it's like, no guys, shit went down.
Miguel tells them he's irritable and grumpy and they start talking about the swing. Like, oh, do you need the swing again? And Justin's like, wait, what is the swing? And Alexis is inside saying she doesn't need toys because she has a man and that's why she never had a vibrator. Mm-hmm. And Kristen looks at the camera and says, I have three. I love her. So they talk about Kristen and Mitch's sex life. Not much has happened there. They're not doing it still. It's on hold. Okay. She does say something interesting, though. Kristen says they're in a good place, but the wife in her wants to say yes on decision day.
Mm-hmm.
The woman in her doesn't. And you know I'm always going to say, listen to that woman in you.
Yeah.
Even though I love them together so much, if she's feeling that now.
Yeah, don't prolong it.
No, that's not good. Now Nate and Stasha pull out some vibrating panties. Then that's all I have for them. Then Lindy and Miguel are on a balcony and she wants a video of herself. Okay.
That was annoying. That annoyed me.
Well, I have notes on this. So she asked Sammy, who must be a PA, instead of Miguel, because she doesn't want to offend Miguel. Mm-hmm. But then this also pisses off Miguel. And she's like, her whole thing is, the sunset is so beautiful, I want a video of me walking into it. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the problem, Lindy. Stop worrying about taking pictures.
Not being in the moment.
Aren't you the one who sat there and questioned Nate's authenticity because he felt like he was always filming shit and not being in the moment? Mm-hmm. And now you're doing this? Like, maybe that's what, because we all know that there is a gender disparity usually between social media usage. So research shows that women are more likely to use social media than men. Mm-hmm. So you have that going at you. But then Miguel is also significantly older than her.
Yeah.
So like, maybe he just doesn't understand that realm.
Yeah.
And she's all like, I got to get my best angle. I got a selfie. I got to do this. I got to count. You know what I mean? And that's probably just kind of irritating to him.
Look, after he slept with her, he lost interest. That's plain and simple. And he's been putting up with her, and now he's sick of her. He can't pretend anymore.
So he says in his supervillain voice, if you were to read the room, what is my energy telling you?
That you're a psychopath?
It's like diabolical. So she's like, I can't win. I agree with her. She can't win. So he feels misunderstood. And then she asks for a hug and he says no.
Yeah.
And she loses it. And then they gaslight each other over who's being gaslit. Then she cries and she leaves. And I just wrote, Miguel is an asshole. And then he tells the camera, the negative version of me is not a good person.
Yeah, we've seen.
It's moody. I'm terrible. Low-key disrespectful. Not low-key, dude.
No.
Not low-key.
Full register.
And then she says, then they go in the bathroom and they're fighting. And then he says, you know, what do you need from me in this moment? Blah, blah, blah. And she says, I have a tendency to be inconsiderate. Mm. Now, I will tell you, on After Party, she has completely internalized this misogyny and blames herself completely for this whole thing. She's like, it was all my fault. He was laying down and resting and I went in and interrupted him and I made him take my picture. Nope, like she totally bought into it. She bought his narrative. So at dinner, the group is like, okay, they're missing, but let's just go forward. Not a big deal. Justin's like, let's have a little respect for them.
Yeah.
And Kristen's like, yeah, I like that. So Stasha and Nate talk in a confessional about Alexis and Justin having sex. And she's telling him, like, oh, Alexis didn't have anything really nice to say about it. And Justin's just kind of staring at the camera like, interesting.
You mean Nate?
Oh, my God, Nate. Did I say Justin? Yeah. I'm sorry, Nate. Mitch and Kristen are being really sweet. And Alexis is like, so you're attracted to your wife, Mitch? Shut up,
Alexis. Yeah, that was like, oh, don't stir it. Come on. They burned that. They threw an arrow through it.
Put an arrow through it. It's dead. Nate is buzzing Stasha's panties. Mm-hmm. Now, the buzzing was put in post-edit. They confirmed that in the after show.
Oh, okay. Because so, like, I was like, that's pretty loud towards the end. Because I recorded a little clip, which I'm going to toss on our Instagram because it's just hilarious.
But she's like freaking out and she's like fidgeting like when you have to pee. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just doing the I have to pee. And Alexis is like, do you have vibrating panties on? And then Mitch is, I think it's Mitch.
Yeah, it's Mitch. He's
immediately like, do you have the remote control for them, Nate? Like, they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And Stasha gets up and leaves, and Nate follows her. And he claims he didn't know how to work the remote. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm swollen. Okay. After dinner, Miguel does one of two big apologies in public to Lindy. Okay. And then she tells the camera, it's been an emotional roller coaster for me. This whole, like, he fucking completely ruined this whole weekend for her. Then we have this weird scene where Kristen comes out dressed as Mitch.
It was so random.
And I have to say this. Mitch is laughing hysterical. He says he loves seeing her like that. this is why I like Mitch so much, because as many problems as he has, and there are many, I feel like he is very secure in his masculinity, and he's not somebody who like is constantly having to put other people down to make himself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Could you imagine if Lindy was imitating Miguel?
Oh my God. He would have like Tasmanian devil that fucking room.
Or if Alexis was doing it to Justin.
He would have cried.
Like really, ironically, Nate and Mitch are probably the most comfortable in their masculinity, their sexuality. Like they're just cool. They're cool. They're confident. So Mitch is loving it. And he's like, now on the after show, Alexis tried to make it seem like he loved it because he's in love with himself. And he only, you know, was getting all boned up over Kristen because she looked like him. That's not what it was.
No, because she didn't look like him. It was a stupid getup.
He said several times, like, he enjoyed her sense of humor in that moment. All right. So later they play volleyball and the teams are split up and Miguel's
dodgeball. They got a dodge.
Oh, I have volleyball. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Dodgeball. The teams are split up and Miguel's on the losing team and he throws a baby tantrum because Lindy is rooting for her own team and not for him. And he tells the camera, I'm done. I just want to leave. I'm done. Afterwards, the teams debrief and Miguel is talking to Kristen and he's saying like, I have to walk on eggshells around. Like, it's real weird. I don't know. He's trying to justify his attitude.
Yeah.
And it's not working. It's like, not. Kristen is even kind of giving him, like, half-hearted answers. Like, whatever, dude. But Lindy is sitting with Mitch, Nate, and Alexis. And she starts crying. And she's basically like, I'm in a fucking nightmare, guys. Like, yeah. I don't know what's happening. But in an ITM, I don't know if you picked this up, Stasha, who I kind of trust. Like, I trust her judgment. And she knows these guys better than we do, right? She kind of takes Miguel's side. Like, she's like, I don't know what's going on with Miguel. I think he's just trying to get through the weekend. She said, because Lindy is so dramatic. And I think he's just trying to process that. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if she's seeing something. Don't forget, we're just seeing the edits.
We're just seeing the edits. And also, maybe she is even with the ladies, annoying the ladies. Because she's so immature and just like. And it's not her fault. She's literally experiencing, like, this freedom and being able to kind of, like, connect with everybody, like socially, like social media, and kind of being on her own without all these like religious restrictions. So she's finding herself, and it's an annoying process.
Didn't Alexis say she didn't like her in the first episode?
I think so. Yeah,
I think so. I think she's annoying.
Yeah,
but that does, but that does not give him the right to talk to
absolutely
her like that.
Not.
That was dark, and I would not stick around for that personally because. You fuck up once and he's going to come at you like that.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Imagine when something real happens, something that actually matters.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I don't have notes on next week on, but I kind of remember the one highlight I remember is that we see Maya.
I was like, and then there's like this weird edit where it's like, Justin is like, yeah, sometimes you got to make a choice. And it's like, wait, what?
Yes. What do you think is going to happen? What is that?
That's probably a nothing burger because we know Married at First Sight. They love to play with us. It's probably he went to visit her and he's probably like, it was probably like a horrible choice that I had to choose my wife over you.
No, I think it was he had to make a choice between leaving the dog there and getting her and giving her to one of his friends.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he's with a friend and Maya's there.
But the way that we're trying to make it portray kind of like, I had to make a choice and he chose the dog because I keep cutting back to the dog.
But at this point I would choose my dog.
Oh, fuck yeah.
100%. My dog makes me feel good. You don't.
Exactly.
My dog's not telling everyone I'm terrible in bed or that I have a small dick. I don't care how small your dick is. Your dog will never tell. Never tell anybody.
Because it's probably smaller if it has one.
And then I think we do see some good signs. I think we see like some couples saying, I love you. And it looks good. We see Kristen saying, I don't know how, if I could live my life without you in it now that I have you.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that. So like, it looks okay. There's, you know, as usual, they start the, previews off with everybody saying, I love you. And then everybody fighting.
Yeah.
Second half of the previews. So that's it. That's it. What are your thoughts here? Like,
it was showing me
who's gonna make it, who's not.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So I think Stasha and Nate are good. They'll say yes on decision day.
They're good.
I think that Alexis and Justin should not be together. They should both say no.
I told you before, though, I think they're dumb enough to say yes.
Oh, that would be awful, because this
they'll
is
break up real short.
They'll break up before the fucking reunion, if that's the case.
Yes. Yep.
Because they're a mess. There's no fixing this. Lindy and Miguel should say no.
But they'll say yes.
I think that she'll say yes and he'll say no.
I don't think so. Ugh. Where is he going to find someone to put up with that bullshit?
On Instagram? You know how thirsty these bitches are? You're on TV, all of a sudden your DMs are blowing up?
True. Yeah, could be.
So, I mean...
And what do you think about Kristen and Mitch? They're the wild card, right?
They are the wild card. I don't know. I honestly don't know yet. Because on one hand, she did say the wife in her wants to keep this going and the woman in her is selling her bail. So
have you ever felt that? I have felt that. When she said that, there was a real like twinge in me. And I was like, I have been in that moment where I know that somebody is saying something to me or I'm making a choice that is against kind of my feminist core.
Yes, I've been in that situation. Yeah. And I'm just like, why am I doing this?
Yes. 100%. And so that's why I feel like she doesn't need to stay in that if that's how she feels.
Yeah.
But I do think, not to defend Mitch again, but I always do, I do think on a big scale in terms of how he views women, mm-hmm. and how he treats women and other people, that he is a good person.
He's very particular. He has his quirks and he does want mm-hmm. to save the world, which is admirable. Mm-hmm. He's not my type of person. Like, for me, he would be too intense.
Oh my God, I'd be all over that.
No, that's too much for me. Like, I like intensity when you're kind of wacky. Like, if you're like
somebody funny. Who wants to save the world, I'm there.
I mean, I did not find Captain Planet hot, even though it was Tom Cruise. I did not. So
wait, what?
Yeah, Tom Cruise voiced Captain Planet.
Oh, voiced. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No, he's not saving the world with Xanu or whatever the fuck gods he believes in. No.
You know what I texted you last week, right? My husband and I were talking about maybe possibly flipping a house in the future.
Yes! Oh my God.
He goes, because he's all into like green energy, and he goes, we literally just put solar panels on our house. So he's like, why don't we try to flip it in a sustainable way? And I was like, oh my God.
That's why you protect Mitch. You're married to him.
Yeah. But I like somebody who has passion for something. Yeah. And because I do.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's a good match when somebody can understand that energy.
Yeah.
You know, like I said before, I'm always the naysayer. I'm always like, you know, what's your carbon footprint there? I shouldn't say that I'm like that with the environment, because I'm really not. It's more like other causes that I care about, like, you know, women's rights.
Yeah. Stuff like
that. All right. So any other final thoughts then?
You know, it was a good episode in the sense that I did find little shady moments within my couples. And Miguel was just losing his goddamn mind. And that was gaslighting 101, textbook gaslighting.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I hate that now that's a buzzword, so it doesn't have the impact it should.
So I wanted to ask you, because I think you mentioned this very early on in this season, that some of his misogyny was cultural.
Yes.
Do you feel like that's what we're seeing?
Part of it, the part of like, you would not speak to me in that tone is very like, no, I'm the man. You don't speak to me like that. You're the one. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got that sense. But there's a lot of other fucked up shit going on with him, you know?
Is that your...
That's my analysis.
Is that your independent analysis?
No, he's probably not a bad person. I don't think this is a good fit for him.
I don't either.
And he did lose interest in her and he finds her annoying. And now he's like, how do I, maybe he's not aware that he's gaslighting her. Maybe he's just like, I can't handle this.
Can I say something? It just came to me as you were saying this. I think he needs somebody who's going to be all about him.
Yeah.
She's too much all about her.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just I think he'd be a really good husband to a more submissive wife.
Yeah.
And we think that Lindy's submissive because of her upbringing and her culture, but she's really not.
No, she's really rebelling. Not. She is finally free.
Which, good girl. Good. But like, you know, there are traditional marriages where the man is more dominant and the woman is more submissive. I mean, not great for me personally.
Yeah.
But there are many people who are in marriages like that that do
fine. And it works. And it works for them.
Yeah. So like, I think that's the kind of wife he's looking for. And I think he thought he had that at first.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's seeing, oh, I don't have that.
Remember, this is a cosplaying Dungeons and Dragons nerd. Like, he should be happy.
Do not malign all nerds. Do not malign all nerds.
Listen, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and you're going to like it. No, it's like, he probably didn't have, like, the best experience with girls growing up. And now he's older, and now he's like, this is what I want in a woman. And he can't really find it, and it doesn't align with, like, he's attracted to the hot girls that he probably couldn't get in high school, but they don't have that kind of interest in what he's into, so it's a weird dance.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Leslie, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find us on social media. You can find me at Sinister Girls. The podcast is
Sinister Girls.
Yeah, we're just like regrouping for a little bit. I'm trying to figure out what's happening with the radio station, so and all that. Yeah. But more shows are coming, and of course, follow us, because now I've been like playing with videos and like making memes.
She's making memes over there while I'm making Little House on the Prairie memes.
Yeah, so we're having fun. So follow us at 6 Degrees of Reality TV and Amy.
And guys, I'm starting to put some screenshots from Sister Wives on our account, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Cody Brown is such a piece of shit. I feel like I need to share that with the world. You can find me at Gen X This Is Why, but I also have a private, not a private, but a personal Instagram at Amy Archer Writer. So if you want to follow me there, you can. And that's it. That's where I live.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully we'll be here a little earlier next week.
Yeah.
You know, we were in Philly. We had some fun. It was really good to meet Leslie in person.
I know. She's like
just as amazing and beautiful as I see her on the screen.
Thank you. Well, Amy is a real flesh person. I wasn't sure at first. You know, I thought she was like a laptop image.
I was an avatar.
An avatar. No. She's real.
I'm real.
And she gives the best hugs. So if you ever meet Amy, hug her.
I am very squishy. Yeah. I can give a good hug. I do. I will take that compliment. Thank you. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you soon.
Bye.